This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we seek for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness, I testify that none has the right to be worshipped. None has the right to our ultimate love and devotion but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. All you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of submission and Islam to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kinship. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear him, and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. Indeed, the best words are the words of Allah, and the best guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst thing in the religion are the newly invented matters, because all the newly invented matters in religion are innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance and it leads to the hellfire. One day the great companion Mu'adh radiallahu anhu approaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks him for an advice. And he says, Ya Rasulallah, أخبرني بعمل يقربني من الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. O Allah's Messenger, tell me of one action, one thing that I do that brings me closer to Jannah and pushes me away from the hellfire. Isn't that what we all want? Very simple, straightforward question. Direct me to something that is gonna bring me closer to paradise and push me away from Jahannam, from the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ responds to him, and the Prophet ﷺ realized the enormity of this question. He said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You have asked about something noble and great. You have asked about an enormous affair. The Prophet ﷺ is commending this question, praising it. Because sometimes we beat around the bush. We don't ask the right question. Sometimes our questions are more of a bluff rather than a real approach to the real question or the real concern. So the Prophet ﷺ says, you've asked about something that is enormous, something great. وَإِنَّهُ لَسَهْلٌ عَلَى مَنْ سَهَّلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And it, although despite the enormity of this thing, it is easy for the people that Allah makes it easy for them. Then the Prophet ﷺ explains. He says, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You worship Allah and you do not associate partners with Him. You worship Allah alone. So you live your life in worship of Allah, in devotion to Allah. And we explained previously so many times in the khutbas, it means you live your life in love of Allah. So your whole life becomes a manifestation and a statement of your love for Allah, according to the way that came through the Prophet ﷺ. And you also live your life in fear of the punishment of Allah. That's what worship means. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And you establish the prayer. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ. And you pay the zakat from your surplus money. وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانِ. And you fast Ramadan. وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتَ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And you fast Ramadan and you perform pilgrimage Hajj to the house of Allah when you are capable to do that, or if you are capable to do that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. Shall I not tell you of the great doors or avenues to goodness? So Hudhayfa asked about one thing. I want to do one thing. And it's not necessarily one single action. But he was asking about something that is so concise and precise that he can act upon it and enter paradise. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ gave him. The five pillars of Islam. So you want paradise, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Make sure you remain on Tawheed. You worship Allah alone. You avoid all forms of shirk. All forms of associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they are major shirk, clear manifest acts that go against the unity and the oneness of Allah, or they are sometimes hidden, like showing off, like having wrong intentions, trying to appease and please people with what you do. And then you establish the five daily prayers. You pay the zakah when you have surplus money. You fast Ramadan. And you perform Hajj. Very simple and easy. Every human being can do this. Any human being can do this. Then the Prophet ﷺ realized that because Hudhayfa asked a very intelligent question, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to give him a gift more. And that's the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ. When he sees someone who's keen to learn, whose mind is open, his mind is open. He wants to learn, he wants to develop a good perspective on things. He wants insight, he wants enlightenment. So he asks the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ saw this in Mu'adh, so he wants to add more, he wants to give him extra, he wants to give him more gifts, more insight. So he says, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. Shall I not show you the great doors and avenues that lead to goodness? These are the major things, or the very simple, easy things that bring about a lot of goodness. The first thing he said, الصوم جنة. Fasting is a protection, shield from the hellfire. Since you asked about how to protect yourself from the hellfire, get closer to paradise. الصوم جنة. Fasting is a protection. Protection from the hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, if a person fasts one day for the sake of Allah, then Allah will distance him from the hellfire by a distance that requires 70,000 years or 70 years in order to cross. So Allah will push him away further from the hellfire. الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار. And sadaqah, when you give in charity, you give away from what you possess, from what you have, even if it's little. This extinguishes the sins and the fire of your own sins, just as water extinguishes the fire. So if you have a lot of sins, and we all have a lot of sins, we're all sinners. We all do a lot of sins on a daily basis. We all wrong ourselves. We all have shortcomings. And these sins are just like fire. They burn our hearts. They burn our souls. And they burn our future in the hereafter. So in order for you to extinguish that fire that is brought about by your own sins, each one of us, the way to do this is with sadaqah. Sadaqah extinguishes the fire that we ignite with our own sins. So sawmu junnah was sadaqatu tutfi'u al-khati'ata kama yutfi'u al-ma'u an-nar. Then the Prophet ﷺ says to him, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ وَعَمُودِهِ وَذِرْوَةِ سَنَامِهِ. Shall I not tell you? The Prophet gives structure now to Islam, some kind of a structure. He says, shall I not tell you about the head of the matter, which means the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter of Islam. The heart of what really gets you to Allah. The heart of the prayer, the heart of the fast, the heart of the zakah, the heart of your tawheed, the heart of your pilgrimage, and all of these things. What's the heart of this? And shall I not tell you of the main pillar that keeps everything, that holds everything together, and the apex and the climax of all of this, the highest point in it? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The heart of the matter is Islam, submission to Allah. That you submit to Allah. There's a sense, there is a feeling, a deep feeling, deep sense of submission to Allah, that you own nothing, that everything is in the hands of Allah. A deep sense that you are nothing and Allah is everything. A sense that you are helpless and Allah is the Almighty. That's what submission is. So you hand over your affairs to Allah completely. You feel this kind of reliance, this kind of complete dependence on Allah, and you also submit to Him your will, so you don't go against the instructions of Allah and the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. You submit willfully and fully. Why? Because you trust Allah and you trust His Messenger ﷺ, and you recognize your own weakness, your own shortcomings, and your own deficient insight and sight. So this is the heart of everything that you do. So when you pray, when you fast, when you give in sadaqah, when you perform hajj, when you do whatever you do in Islam, you have to do it in a sense of submission. That you are the slave of Allah who is your master. You have to recognize where you stand in this relationship. Not seeing yourself dealing with Allah as equals. Rather, He is the master and you are the slave. رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَعَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ. And the pillar that holds this whole religion together is الصَّلَاةِ. The prayer. The prayer itself. When so many Muslims don't observe the prayer, they think it's a light matter. As long as you're a Muslim, you're just Muslim. Yes, you are a Muslim if you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you do not bring yourself to pray five times for your Creator, that shows that you Islam is either weak or non-existent. It's so weak and slim that you might not even pass the test of life. So be careful. Because the pillar that holds your religiosity, that holds your connection to Allah, that holds it together, is the Salah. عَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ. This is the pillar of Islam. So for those who don't pray at all, for those who pray occasionally, for those who pray only the Jum'ah, for those who only pray the Eid, or they pray on a long weekend. That's all what they do. They come for Jum'ah on a long weekend. We say to those, you have demolished the pillar that holds your Islam together. You have demolished this. You put yourself in a very vulnerable position where you might easily lose faith. Because salah is the connection between you and Allah. وَعَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ. And the highest point in Islam is jihad. And jihad means striving. It means you go against your desires. First, the desires of the self inside you. You fight and you beat the enemy within. That's the first level of jihad. And that's why in the early history of Islam, in the first 15 years, Muslims were prohibited from taking up arms. Why? Because if you do not defeat the enemy within, you cannot defend yourself outside. You would be doing it for a selfish reason. You would be doing it for your ego. You would be doing it for nationalism. And you can't be fighting like this. Even if your nationalism is all about the name or the title Islam, it's because from a Muslim country, because I'm from a Muslim background, I'm gonna fight for this banner, but I don't feel anything with Allah. I don't pray. I'm not doing it for the sake of Allah. So when Allah tells me fight, I fight. When Allah tells me hold back, I hold back. When Allah tells me this is justice, do it, I should do it. It's injustice. Abstain away from it. If I'm not in a state of submission to Allah, have not defeated my enemy within, how do I expect to perform real jihad? And this is why when people have not defeated the enemy within, that's what we have been seeing. Muslims are committing atrocious acts in the name of jihad, in the name of Islam. Killing innocent people, killing children, women, and creating terror around in the name of Islam, demolishing and blemishing the beauty of Islam in the eyes of everyone to see. And then they are used and manipulated by other parties that are working in the dark and behind the scenes. And they are using these naive Muslims who have gone against the advice and the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ. They use them to blemish the beauty of Islam. They use them in order to set the Muslims up and make it hard for the Muslims everywhere. They're using them to push people away from Islam. Because in the last 50 years, huge numbers of people were flocking into Islam. Something needed to be done to stop this. And the best way is to use these naive Muslims in the name of jihad. Make them kill innocent people. Make them kill children and women. Kill Muslims and non-Muslims in the name of Islam. And these people themselves are taking concubines, taking Muslim women concubines, taking innocent people concubines. This is completely against Islam. Why? Because these people are not going according to the advice of the Prophet. So jihad is to start within. To start within, because oftentimes, these days and many days, people are fighting for their own ego, fighting for their own sense of nationalism. Not fighting for the sake of Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked that a person fights hamiyatan, out of nationalism, a sense of jealousy for his own nationalism. And this could be a country, this could be a culture, this could be an ethnicity, this could be a tribe, it could be a family, and it could be the name of Islam. Just an empty name that has no content behind it. And that's serious. And this is why dhurwatu salami hijad is, because when you go against your desires and your temptations, that shows the level of selflessness, the level of cleanliness inside, the level of purity in your soul has reached an apex where you are willing to sacrifice your desire and your temptations and everything about who you are for the sake of establishing Islam as the truth. Islam, when it brings justice, when it brings equality, when it brings love and forgiveness, when it brings light to everyone. That's the kind of jihad that we believe in. وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ Then the Prophet ﷺ, with Mu'adh paying enough attention, the Prophet ﷺ decides to give him the spirit of all of this. One thing, because he asked as well for one thing. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him the system of Islam. But the Prophet ﷺ also wants to give him one thing that's going to help him access all of this. One thing. Then he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ Shall I not tell you about one thing that is going to guarantee that you get to all of these? That you master all of these? That you fulfill all of these? أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ Shall I not tell you about the one thing? The one thing that runs through all of this. The one thing that guarantees that you fulfill all of this. The one thing that's going to lead you to perform and complete all of this and do it well. Anyone in that position would say, absolutely. That's what I'm looking for. So you can see the act. This is the perfect teacher. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mu'adh asked him about one simple thing, yet the Prophet ﷺ gave him simple things, straightforward things. But he created a context around it so that Mu'adh ibn Jabal learns very well. And this is why this hadith is one of the most profound hadith. It's reported by Tirmidhi, by the way, collected by Tirmidhi, and it's authentic. So we ought, as Muslims, we ought to learn from the words of the Prophet ﷺ, bring them back to life. Don't see them as ancient wisdom. Don't frame them and hang them on a wall. Put them in your heart as a way of life. You live according to that on a daily basis. That's what the guidance of Islam is. It's not for you to parrot it and memorize it and teach it to your kids so they can parrot it. It's a way of life to be implemented, to be translated into a practical human reality. Otherwise, we're not doing what the Prophet ﷺ advised us to do. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. So the Prophet ﷺ gives Mu'adh ibn Jabal another offer. Shall I not tell you? ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله? Shall I not share with you the heart of this whole matter, or the spirit of this whole matter, the one thing that you do and will guarantee that everything, all of those that I mentioned before, you'll be able to accomplish them and fulfill them. That's the bottom line. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal is so keen to listen to what's coming next. The Prophet ﷺ says, the Prophet ﷺ holds his tongue. And he says, أمسك عليك هذا. He holds his tongue and is saying, he says, take care of this. Be careful of this. In another interpretation of the word, cage this. Cage this tongue. Lock it up. So Mu'adh is surprised. Surprised. He thought it was something that you need to do, something you need to plan. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal looks at the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Rasulullah, أَوَ مُؤَخَذُونَ نَحْنُ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ? Are we going to be held accountable for what we say? For our words? Because if you count how many words you say, an average man, by the way, an average adult man, do you know how many words they say on a daily basis? From 10 to 20,000 words a day. That's an average man. From 10 to 20,000 words we say as men. Women say in average 50,000 words. That's scientific research. 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, so much. Do you check each word before you say it? Do you count your words? Are you aware of your words? Where did this word come from? First of all, is it true? Number two, the reason I'm saying this word, is it a good reason? My intention behind it, is it good? Or is it bad? Is there a benefit in this word? That's another thing to look at. Is there a benefit in this word? Should I say it? Is there a benefit if I say it? Or is there harm as a consequence of me stating this word? Do we put these kind of filters when we speak 20,000 words, 50,000 words? Do we check? No, we speak mindlessly. Words just come out of our mouths. We only realize them after we have spoken them. That's why Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he says, be careful with your words, because before you say it, you own it. You are its master before you say it. You can either release it or keep it. You are in charge. But after you have spoken it, you become its slave. Because if you have spoken it, it has come out. So if it has consequences, they're going to come back at you. If good, good. If bad, bad. So the message in this khutbah is that you see the beauty of Islam as the Prophet ﷺ put it, designed it, the way he explained it. The main point here is, what are we doing with our tongues? So the Prophet ﷺ, when he hears Mu'adh's question, أَوَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَقُولُ أَوْ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ? قال ثكلتك أمك يا معاذ. Woe to you معاذ, what's wrong with you. وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم. Is there anything, he says, woe to you معاذ, is there anything that throws people in the hellfire on their faces? People are thrown in the hellfire upside down, their faces first. Is there anything that throws people in the hellfire with their heads and faces first? Or as some of the commentators in the hadith, they say, when the people are taken to the hellfire, the sinners, the evildoers, the criminals, when they are taken to the hellfire, they will be dragged on their faces, on their nose. They will be dragged. The nose will be rubbing against the ground until they reach the hellfire. Then they will be thrown with the head first. So the Prophet ﷺ says, do you think anything throws people into the hellfire with their faces there, faces down, other than the consequences of their tongues? وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Is there anything that throws people in the hellfire more, anything other than the consequences of their tongues? Lies, backbiting, slandering, ridiculing and mocking and making fun, creating dissension and fitna, spreading rumors about people, insulting someone, disrespecting someone. These are things that throw us in the hellfire. So if you want to achieve Islam, if you want to achieve Iman, you want to achieve worship, you cannot achieve this without locking up your tongue and being its master. There's no way around it. That's what the Prophet says, that's milaku dhalika kullih. Milaku dhalika kullih. We speak ill of people, we judge people, we arrive at conclusions about people, we have evil suspicion and su'ul dhan. We speak about people, we spread rumors about people. There's a dispute between two people, we take one side and we start speaking against the other without knowing the full story, without having to be in the situation. We say bad things, we say things without any value, without any benefit. And this tongue that we enjoy talking, enjoy using and speaking and bring and creating words, these words become a fire that will burn us. And that not only this, because when you use your tongue the wrong way, you won't be able to achieve or reach the heart of everything that was mentioned in the hadith. Tawheed, salah, prayer, zakah, fast, hajj, all of this will be taken away. And this is explained by the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he asked about the companions. He said, do you know who's the penniless one, al-muflis? They said, the one who has no assets, no possessions, no cash. The Prophet ﷺ said, he's the one who comes on the Day of Judgment having done so many good deeds, fasting, prayer, zakah, and so on and so forth. But he has come that he has hurt this person, slandered that person, lied against this person, backbitten this person, so on and so forth. So these people take from his hasanat because he has to pay them back. They take from his good deeds, from his good records, until they evaporate, they've finished. Then their sins are taken, they are thrown on him. Then he will be thrown in the hellfire. So you can fast and you can do everything. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, he said, كان الناس أو كان السلف لا يرون العبادة في كثرة صلاة ولا صيام. The early generations, the companions, for him, the companions, that's the salaf, for him. They didn't see worship isn't excessive or so much prayer or fast. They saw that real worship, ولكن كانوا يرون العبادة في كف الأذى عن الناس. They used to see what worship means is to keep your harm, keep any kind of harm that you could cause from people, keep it away from them. Hold back any harm that you could bring about to people. That's what worship means. And that's how we should understand Islam. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن لهم حق علينا. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم كن المستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان. اللهم احقن دماءهم, اللهم صن أعراضهم, اللهم احفظ عليهم دينهم وإيمانهم. اللهم تجاوز عنا, اللهم تجاوز تجاوز عنا. اللهم قنا حصائد ألسنتنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.